This is Jan Barbas for Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIW, and Curry Matters. Welcome to our show. With me today is Curry County Commissioner Susan Brown. Welcome, Susan.
Oh, thank you.
Susan, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, your background in Curry County and what you did before you became a commissioner?
Gosh, it's always a tricky one to start because you never know how far to go back. Anyways, I've been in Curry County since 2001. My husband and I moved here from Nevada. We lived in a small mining town in Nevada where I owned a business for about 15 years, which had become really successful, of course, struggling like every other business. And I'd spent some time as a city council member and an economic development member for the local boards. But when we got to Curry County, I took a little bit of time off before I went to work just to enjoy the beaches and the ocean. And our son was still in school at the time, so I wanted to make sure he was acclimated before I went back to work. So I went to work for the Gold Beach Chamber of Commerce as their director for about 3 or 4 years, I guess. After that, I went to work for Curry County as their economic development director, and I spent about 5 years doing that job. And then I went into being a commissioner. So
what drew you to run? Why are you a commissioner?
Well, it was kind of interesting. I hadn't even thought about running for commissioner. I had been invited to a meeting in Port Orford, and I think it was Curry County, Save Curry County was the group's name, and they wanted to just have some discussion about where Curry County should go next, kind of the same thing that a lot of groups have talked about over the years, what we need to do. And out of that meeting, I was asked to run for commissioner. And I thought, didn't even enter my mind. And I thought, well, I go home and tell my husband if I'm going to do this. So it was by the time we got back to town and talking to some folks I was riding with, I thought, well, okay, I'll throw my hat in the ring and see what happens. So
that's
how that started.
So. Am I right? I think this is your first term. You've been on about 2 years.
2 years now.
And tell us what it's like. I mean, I've come up there, and you guys seem to work pretty hard. How many hours a week do you put in to get ready, and how do you feel about the whole thing?
It's an interesting job. Yeah. Some weeks, last week, for example, I didn't get home before 9 p.m. once. So in other weeks, I'm home for dinner every night, which is nice.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting job because it's never the same thing every day. You hear about multitasking. You have no idea about multitasking. Today, for an example, moving from some policy issues at the county this morning and some staffing issues over to the Border Coast Regional Airport Authority meeting, which I just came from, where we selected a new airline carrier for the Crescent City Airport. And then you go back in.
Can I ask who it is? Is it Penn Air?
It's Penn Air.
All right.
So every day is just really interesting because the issues that come up, sometimes you're like, well, I didn't even see that coming. Or it's just, simple issues of working with your different departments on whether they're budgeting, staffing, policies, grants. And then, of course, back into the administrative part where you're working with the budgets and the internal policies and internal staff and projects that you're working on. So it's really interesting. It's just such a multifaceted job because the government doesn't have just one layer, and it's not just about government because at the same time you're trying to represent the folks who elected you, which I think is very important. I mean, that's why I'm in the office. So to me, it's always like a fine line, and I don't want to say government against the citizens, but sometimes it almost feels like that. But you have to represent both. You have to keep government intact and make sure the services are there, especially the mandated ones that the state requires, the services that the people need. And then the other side of the coin is the citizens that are also needing or demanding particular things. So,
I get the sense you like it.
I do like it.
That's good.
It's very interesting.
So I want to go into this idea a little bit of this sort of the double role here of policy and also the business of running the government. And what I see when I look at the county website, each commissioner is assigned as the liaison to various departments. Is that a management role. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what the liaison means?
Well, it's a first point of contact, essentially, is all, because each commissioner can work with any of the departments within the county. But if a department is bringing issues to an agenda session or something comes up, it's nice to have just one contact to kind of carry the message or to start the process. And so the liaison's lists are worked out to hopefully within personalities and within their expertises, so that when you're working with the departments, you have a pretty good understanding of what they're doing and where they're at and what they may need. So it's just really first point of contact, because essentially, no matter what happens, it takes all three commissioners to move something forward, or it takes a majority of commissioners to move something forward. But
which departments are you liaison for, and what are some of the departmental issues you're wrestling with?
So I have the Brookings Airport, and we do have a Brookings Airport manager, which is our director of administration. She's the official manager, so I'm the liaison to that. The commissioner's office, which is just the internal piece of the commissioner's office. Economic development, I have some expertise in that field. The fair and 4-H Extension Service District is another liaison. Public services, which is our planning and building department. Public transit, which is the Curry Coastal Bus, you know, public transit district. RSVP, which is the Retired Senior Volunteer Program, and Veterans Services. So in each one of them, you could come up with different scenarios of what their needs are and where they're at. I think it was last year, it was fairly public. RSVP went through a major grant audit, and I've got a lot of grant backgrounds, which was helpful for me to be able to work with Vicki closely on getting that grant into compliance. It'd been several years since it had been really paid attention to like it needed to. And so we've went through the process of updating all of her governance documents inside to make her in compliance, working with the county accountant to get the spreadsheets where they need to be, her policy documents, her stations, which are the volunteers that work at different places. So Veteran Services is another one. So if our Veteran Service Officer has an issue with maybe a contract, which we came up with last week, you know, trying to, you know, it's always something. So it's, they all have different issues. The Fair Board, of course, they're fairly independent, but the Fair Board's a mandated board. And right now we've been talking about, for example, the transient lodging tax in Curry County and how that could benefit the fair itself, the event center, because it is a large tourist arm in Curry County and the convention center for the county. And they could certainly use assistance in making that a better place. So talking about how that might work and how it might affect them and, you know, how we can move that forward. Of course, public services, interesting department, because that really is our first economic development piece in Curry County. If a business is coming in or something's happening that needs to have permit or building, they're going to be the first ones to know about it. So I think it's very important we stay on top of everything that happens in that department. That's where we can meet that business for the first time potentially, or that business that's looking, you know, how can we get in contact with them and bring them in? So
it's an interesting point of view. I agree with you. I think that those kinds of services are actually the bedrock of economic development. I think a lot of people tend to view them as regulation, but I view them as creating the pathway to growth.
It potentially can, because if something needs to happen for a business to be situated in Curry County, what can we do in the public services department to make that land fit the use?
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's switch gears now and talk about the policymaking role. You conducted a survey of Curry County public opinion. Why don't you tell us a little about how the survey came out? And I think that some of your top priorities probably relate to what you saw in the survey. But, you know, what are your priorities and what did the survey tell you?
So I think the survey was a good first start. And that's what I wanted it to be, to open up the conversation. And we need to find out really where we're struggling, where we're doing good. So some of the results weren't surprising, you know, low confidence in commissioners. We kind of knew that, but that's government-wide. I don't know that it's just Curry County commissioners. I think it's pretty much a government issue that we face. What was good to see we had very high ratings in our customer service and our staff contact with the public. Straight across the board, high 70s, low 80s for customer satisfaction dealing with our staff. And I think it's important staff to know that they're doing a good job. And I like that. One of the overall themes in the comments were, listen to us. The public is saying, please listen to us. You know, we're not doing a good enough job of being out there and listening. We found out that literally the public feels that all of the services are important. So that's good to know, too. So we know that these are starting points. Okay, we know that you value the services. We know that our staff is doing a good job. We know that the commissioners aren't listening. So the next step is, and I'm still working on getting a lot of the results kind of teased out in there. It's been quite a lot of answers. So the next step is to take... I'll go back to the funding thing. We heard that transient lodging tax was very favorable. Business license fees was very favorable. 911 consolidation was favorable. A special law enforcement district got 52% favorable response. So I think there's some positive things to build on there to go out and say, okay, we heard this from a percentage of the public. Now let's. How do we move forward with this? How do we get the buy-in of all the public? Because these are issues that have to come to a vote. You know, I'll accept for the business license fee, but I still want public involvement in this. And I'm starting with that piece. As a matter of fact, we've already started with the Planning Commission, kind of on a little roadshow that we're taking to all the rotaries to talk about how the business license fees work with changing some zoning issues. So right now the county has home occupations, which is a conditional use. The three cities have home occupations and cottage industries. Well, that helps develop a small business, having a separation like that. So right now if you wanted to do a home-based business in the county, you would have to pay a conditional use permit, which is $1,416 if it's not kicked to the Planning Commission. Where if we changed the zoning where home occupation was an outright use, you would just have that business license fee if we put in there for... Oh, and plus the conditional use is a $64 plus a year annual renewal on top of it. So if we had home occupations as an outright use where you could go into your home and conduct your business that was low impact, not a lot of cars, no retail, that sort of thing. You're a bookkeeper working in your office or something. That would be an outright use. And then with cottage industry, would be a higher impact home business. So we want to delineate those two different zonings so that we can encourage smaller businesses, because oftentimes a business is going to start with one or two people and grow from there. So, you know, if we can help these little businesses grow or start, you know, one job at a time is important for Curry County.
Yeah, $1,400 is a pretty steep price when you don't know if you're going to succeed and you're stretching your resources to start something.
So. And we have an opportunity right now. There's a bill in the Senate Bill 320, which is the home bakery bill that we've been supporting. And it's essentially you can do baked goods in your home for sale. You have to label it, of course, that this was baked in an unapproved kitchen or something. But this is a way to maybe start some home entrepreneurs. And right now food is such a huge thing for folks. Where does your food come from? You know, how is your food prepared? You know, and this is a start. We have farmers markets. We have a little co-op in Port Orford that started up. I think food all across the nation is important, but I think, especially in Curry County, we really look at our natural resources and our food sources.
It's widely acknowledged that Curry County faces a funding crisis. I want our listeners to know that I am on the Sheriff's Citizens Advisory Group. We crafted a tax proposal, and the County Board of Commissioners has voted to place that proposal in front of the voters on the May 19 ballot this year. If the ballot passes, will that solve the crisis? And if not, how much more new tax money does Curry County need?
The passage of the ballot measure would solve the crisis on a temporary basis because it's a three-year levy, but I understand it's going to give you time to work towards a district. The discretionary funds that the county brings in through taxes and other funds would support the remaining departments in the county.
That's excellent news. Yeah. That's really good to hear. So we're in good shape if it passes. What about if it doesn't? What is your vision of what will happen in the next fiscal year?
And that's the question we were hoping to get into yesterday. We had had a Board of Commissioners workshop scheduled with our county accountant, but he had a family emergency, so we had to cancel. So we've been reviewing where we're at, looking at different documents that Gary has sent out to us, and along with the auditor's report that we had last week. And they gave us a pretty good overview of what we're going to expect for the next year. And the auditors broke this down into the first half of 2015-16 and then the second half of 2015-16. So during the first half, we can still use some road funds to finish paying for patrol, but for 6 months, unless I think it's House Bill 26 gets extended. And that's on the floor right now. And I understand it probably will be repealed so that we can continue to use road funds, but that's not a solution. It's not a good option. They need their money too. We need to figure out how to pay it back. So the auditors think that we will have $3 million to carry on for the 6 months starting July 1st to December. And that's really taken everything that we have. So we'll have some discretionary money coming in, and November with the new tax season. And to finish out that year, we would actually have to take all of the working capital reserves, PERS reserves, unemployment reserves. So we have to now start thinking about that. I don't think we should do that. We have to critically look at the budgets, and that's going to be the difficult part, because we're going to have to probably get down to what's mandated, what really is mandated. We hear about services that are mandated, but it also requires other services, and we have mandated services, but we need the accounting to carry out some of those functions, and we need county council to carry out those functions, even though they're not mandated. So I think it's going to be a critical time over the next month or so for the commissioners to drill down to what it's really going to look like. It's going to be hard to say right now, but I don't think it's going to be anything like we have now.
David Smith has his 2.1 budget out, and he did in 2013 or something, that basically shows three beds in Coos County for the jail and just the sheriff and one civil deputy, and like that's pretty much it. Do you think we'll get down that low, or do you think that's more extreme than what will happen?
Well, it could be more extreme because we still have other revenue that the sheriff's office gets from the state federal government, and same with the county. It's going to be difficult. It's probably only a little more extreme.
I don't know if our listeners really understand the role of these funds. A lot of people might feel like, well, they've got savings. You know, why should we pay? Can you make that real for people, what those, you talked about the carryover funds and
sure.
The PERS reserves and what they're for?
Sure. The unemployment reserve, of course, is just that if we have to lay somebody off, we're self-insured county.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're laying folks off, that unemployment benefit is going to come from the county funds that we've set aside to pay for those unemployment benefits. PERS reserves, same thing, it's a liability, PERS liability. If any issues arise out of PERS, and we all heard at the state level where PERS is unfunded, we're in good shape with the PERS. We're really, according to the state, we're on track, but you know, it's good to have that. It's a small fund, I think, right now, $350,000 or $250,000 in the PERS fund, but to cover any unexpected liabilities that might come up with PERS. So the working capital reserve is simply that what it states, money set aside in the event that we have no other funding. Now, we'd hate to have to touch that because that could basically have to be used for unemployment or other such. So the other carryovers that might come in is if the departments, and last year the departments did this, where they didn't use their full budget, so we had money coming forward from their budgets, and it looks like we might have a little bit of that. We also received more money in O&C revenues this year than we anticipated. We thought it would be about $200,000. We ended up with $650,000.
Oh, that's good.
So that's going to help, and that'll get us through that, you know, pretty much status quo for the first 6 months to the end of 2015. That's where it's going to get sticky, but we need to budget now what's going to happen, because we can't do a half-year budget
Just so people understand, if I have this correct, you know, we still do get the ONC funds from that little bit of federal land that is mm-hmm. still logged. That's correct, right?
Right?
It's just not the numbers that it was back in the 90s
correct.
Or late 80s. And it slipped my mind. There was one other thing you said I was going to follow on.
It's okay. But we can probably find it again.
We're good. But the bottom line is people should understand it's going to be a very difficult time for the county, and there will be, they will see and feel effects of cutbacks if we don't solve the funding problem somehow.
Well, it's going to be difficult. I don't know how else to put it. Yeah, it's going to be difficult.
Well, the three of you are going to have to work it out. I think that's nobody knows how it's going to play out. The three commissioners will have to work it out.
I think we have three different views coming into this budget season, so it's going to be, I think it's going to be a struggle just to work through that.
Well, it's actually, for me as a citizen, it's been good to see the three of you working. Because what I get out of it, I've attended, I think, three or four of your meetings since the new year, and Commissioner Huxley came on board and a new commission formed. But I see everybody's voting their heart. There's not a loyalty block. Everybody is discussing civilly and cooperatively, and then you each vote what you believe, and I think that's very encouraging for those of us who pay attention.
Yeah, I like the dynamics for this year because I think there's going to be better discussion in the commissioner's office, the commissioner's hearing room, because we need to work through the issues out in the public on what we're doing. And I like to be able to have that debate, and debate in a good sense.
Yes.
You know, where you talk about the issues in the different sides, because I enjoy it when somebody helps me look at something differently that I've missed.
Yeah.
You know, because we can't always think, I think, of all the angles, and I think that's what the different personalities work so well.
Well, Susan, I have one last question for you. And I keep hearing that you're leaving Curry County. I've heard it from several people. If you're leaving, we'd like to know, and also why and what you're headed off to.
Well, it's easy to answer. I'm not going anywhere.
All right. That was pretty short.
I like it here. My husband likes it here. We have four dogs. We're having a good time. You know, this is probably the most beautiful place we've ever been. We're not going anywhere.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're staying. Do you have anything you'd like to add? We have a few minutes left, if you
want. No, but I love this concept of a community radio.
Yeah.
This is great to be able to have, you know, local interviews. So just let me know, you know, who else you're interviewing and start listening and how we can all get a, you know, listen.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, this has been Jan Barbas with Curry County Commissioner Susan Brown for Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIW, and Curry Matters. Connie Hunter helped with the production of this show. If you have enjoyed this show, we ask that you help us get on the air. Please consider joining KCIW as a founding member or a major donor. And thank you, Susan.